Hi, and welcome to the QuitCast for Writers. This is the show that helps you know what to quit, what to keep, and what to question. My name is Becca Syme, and I am a success coach for authors with thousands of hours in coaching some of the most successful people in this industry. My goal in this podcast is to help you understand why you're not having success if you aren't, and how to double down on the success you're already having. Anyone can tell you what worked for them, and they can say it might not work for you, but they can't tell you why. I can tell you why. Welcome to the QuitCast.
One of the topics that had come up in the discussion of the writer's block is, of course, environment, external environment. And so today we are going to talk about that a little bit. If you haven't seen the first two episodes of this series, I highly recommend watching. One of the things that we talk about early is why the there's no such thing as writer's block phrase gets tossed around. Some of it is because people just don't like the word. They don't like talking about being blocked, and that's okay. That's fine. The process of being stuck or stopped in a manuscript has taken on sort of a mythological element, I think, in our industry. And so people are either very aware that it happens or very certain that it doesn't happen to them. And both of those are fine. But we do want to talk about when it does happen, when writer's block happens, when you get stuck or stopped, why it might be happening and how to fix it. And so today we are going to talk about writing in a crisis, because many of us are in the middle of crisis or headed towards crisis or feel like we're in crisis right now, or we know the world is in crisis. And so this is an important topic to talk about. And I'm going to talk both about where we are in our current state of being, in addition to sort of the long-term when different types of crises that we might be going through, because they're, while not as large, all of our responses are very similar to the way that the external environment plays upon us. And we're going to talk both about how it can affect our writing and how our strengths can actually respond to sometimes prolong the way that we respond to crises or deal with it more effectively, right? So we want to be aware of both of those things. So writing in, we talked in the previous episode about how writing is a creative process, right? And so it's different from the execution of sort of rote tasks, which means the reason that this is important is that you have to be able to access sort of multiple levels of intuition and creativity. And those are, if you think of like Maslow's hierarchy of needs, right? The stuff on the bottom is physical. It's very health and safety sort of related. And so when, just in general, for humans, when we feel like our bottom needs are not being met or cared for, it's very hard for us to access that creative and or philosophical part of our brain. And so understanding that that will happen when you have environmental instability, especially if you have some of the personality traits that make you work better, you are more highly motivated by that sense of stability, then it's going to be more difficult to access that top part of the pyramid, of Maslow's pyramid, during any kind of time of stress. And so just as a rule, I always tell people when we're coaching in Write Better Faster, this is one of the main things that we address, is if you have been through a period of stress, if you have been through a crisis and you didn't write, don't expect yourself to have written. Worrying about having not written is not going to get more words on the page right now. It's only going to make you more have more anxiety, right? And so what we want to try to do is look back and accept and see if there's anything we can learn from. But interestingly, with again, with the stability types of personality traits, the more relational you are, right? Like the more you get fed by other people, that also means that you can be negatively fed by them, and you're more likely to need that internal stability. When you do have that period where you're returning to normalcy, most often when you are motivated by stability, what we look at is you probably shouldn't expect to write during crisis. Not that you shouldn't expect to do anything, right? Because you still, especially many of you have more executing strengths or influencing strengths, still want to be productive. You still want to get things done. But some people do have a very high need for things to be stable. They have a very low capacity to access those higher points on the Maslow's pyramid when their bottom level is not stable. And so if that is you and you are one of those people, don't feel guilty about it. Do adjust, right? Like we want to adjust our expectations. And this is where, well, let me finish this one part really quick and then I want to get into the strengths. But when you have a personality that is more motivated by drive, for instance, like you like pace, you want things to happen quickly, you tend to not need stability, you might end up not getting stuck when you're in crisis. And so that won't resonate for you when it happens to other people. It's a personality difference. It's a brain wiring difference. And so it's not a weakness. It's not, and this is really hard to explain to people, that not everybody's motivated the same way that you are, right? It's not easy for them to access every trait that you can access. Talking about personality makes it seem nebulous. What we know neurologically is that the more you make a decision in your life, the more likely you are to make that decision over and over again. And when it comes to strengths, the reason that the strength themes are so strong is because you've been acting in them and multiplying them for your entire life. And so when I talk about being aligned, part of it is it's like your personality is like a river. It's going to carry you somewhere. And the easiest thing to do, the path of least resistance, is to know which river you're on and take the best advantage of it, which does mean that if you have that high need for stability, that you're going to need to find stability in crisis. Like you need to find places that make you feel stable and make you feel like everything's going to be okay and we're going to get through this and this is going to be over. And whatever that is, it's going to be different for everybody, right? For some of you, and I just acknowledge that this is true, for some of you, strengths and this, you know, what you've learned in this course or the personality or the better, faster platform is that place. And it is my goal to be able to continue these podcasts and discussions. But I do think that there are ways to look for stability in this crisis. And I think that it's important for us to have those places. And if you are a person who's highly motivated by stability in this or any crisis of yours, think about the places that you can go that make you feel like you're stable. And remind yourself to go to those places. It's interesting. I haven't been on Facebook this morning yet, and I feel so much more stable. I am actually taking my blood pressure on a fairly regular basis just to monitor my stress levels. And I am fine this morning, and I haven't been there yet. And Facebook has a purpose. It has a purpose. But it's nice to feel that stability. I got up and wrote this morning, right? So it was partly because I went to the place that I feel the most stable, which is probably different than it is for many of you. But I went to the place where I feel the most stable, and I kept infusing that stability into myself, and then was able to write. And I know I'm going to go on Facebook and I'm going to interact with people, but I monitored myself. And I think that's really important when you have high stability, a high need for stability, is to monitor yourself. So that's kind of the first part that I wanted to talk about, was this general sort of generic need for stability. The other piece that I think is really important to discuss is sort of semi-specific to the way that strengths work in a crisis. And we're likely going to talk about this again in this particular series because it is so important to be able to talk about how the external environment affects your ability to be creative. And again, go back to the Maslow's hierarchy. Most of you have either taken Psych 101 or have heard about Maslow's hierarchy before. Make sure that you take care of your basic level needs and that you feel that you can feel that sense of stability from the bottom of that pyramid and then up, right? But so I've had a lot of questions about how strengths can impact us. One of the conversations that I was having yesterday was specifically about some of the more anticipatory strengths, right? Like futuristic, strategic. We ended up having a conversation about the way that adaptability and context, of course, things like that can have an impact. If you've, if you're on the Patreon, you know that we had this conversation about futuristic adaptability and context being future, present, and past as far as how we look to try to understand things. Everybody has a different sort of main orientation in that way. And strategic can sort of multiply the future orientation, especially if you have context and strategic together. But anyway, so one of the important pieces for me, because I am a higher futuristic than any of the others, is that I need an adaptability person to ground me. I was having a conversation with somebody yesterday about the way that the futuristic likes to make plans and how it can feel like all of the plans have upended themselves because everything has changed. And it can be really hard for the futuristic person to release those plans and to let go and to know that we're going to be able to replace the plans with something else or to not plan for a while, which is very difficult for the higher futuristic people. It's hard not to have data to be able to forecast and to try to understand what's going to happen. The quicker we can let go of whatever future plan we had and grieve that plan, it's probably going to be a grief process. The quicker we can do that, the more we can get to what can I do right now? And for some of us, that's a reach, right? Like having higher futuristic, it's harder to reach for that adaptability if it's low. And I always encourage people, if you know other people's strengths, to reach for your friends who are not like you in this time. So if you find yourself with some of the other strengths we're going to talk about in a second, reach for people who are not wired like you so that you can help to see the filter through a different way. One of my best friends is high adaptability, and I constantly am texting and calling and being like, what, you know, I'm doing a futuristic thing again. And he'll just be like, what can you do right now? What can you do right now? And that is such a good question for me as a futuristic with a mid adaptability, because I don't reach for that very quickly. And so that's important to know. I think one of the more difficult things about having futuristic is definitely going to be, how do we short circuit that need to vision, or how do we see beyond what's going to happen, right? Like, how do you see beyond? And where is your futuristic taking you? If it's taking you to an anxiety place, you know, reach for those friends who are going to call up other strengths of yours. Context, I think, can be a little bit more helpful than futuristic in this time period, because of course there is past history to draw on, like the context patterns of what's happened before. How are things different? How are we better able to cope with this now because of what's happened before? How are we changing our responses and things like that? So I do think that there's some benefit as well to reaching for people who are not on that same place in the continuum that you are in this particular time. And in any crisis, right? Because that, what I said about futuristic and adaptability and context applies to multiple crises. It's not just this one. And so knowing that sometimes the tapes in your head are the hardest to get past, to not see that it's a tape, and we want to stop them if we can. And analyze them if we need to, and then be unaware. Like sometimes we just need to be unaware and to and to do whatever's in front of us to be doing. So the other strengths that can sometimes crop up to block the writing in times like this, there's a couple of other, let's call it, I guess, clusters that I want to talk about. One is the strategic thinking cluster. Obviously, those of you who have this know very clearly and well, probably for about a week now, just how much these strengths can manifest in a time like this, right? So when you have a high intellection, especially a high analytical, a high input, a high learner, and of course, context and futuristic are both also thinking strengths. So it can be a cycle and a spiral for almost every one of those strengths when they go into stress. So it's very different when your strength is functioning at a, let's call it the balcony, although this is not about balcony and basement, but at a high level or at a calm level when all your Maslow's needs are being met. There's a difference between that and when you go into stress response. And so in a stress response, we want to focus on getting out of the stress response. That's the most important thing. And there are multiple different ways that you can do that. There are many. The one I'm going to talk about is not the only one. But what's important for me, and this is why I, again, as an extrovert, as a woo communication, I constantly am reaching out to friends to ground myself in positive thinking and in positive things and in what can I do right now to make sure that I'm ready and make sure that I'm doing everything I can do to be safe. And then to make sure that I'm doing life. I'm still doing as much life as I can. There's this tendency with the thinking strengths to get lost in the cycles. And so reaching out, I think, is a good one. The other piece is reminding yourself, reaching for wherever your positivity is, reminding yourself of the good emotions that you do feel at the time. And if you can't reach for them, that's fine. There may be an unrealistic expectation hiding in there about my ability to control things or the fact that information will make me feel better and things like that. So sometimes that's not the case. And sometimes we need to recognize when our stress behavior is driving us towards that place. And when we are in a super duper stress response, we just need to have grace. Grace with ourselves. Know that we're doing everything we can do, and sometimes we're going to be stressed out, and then to do everything we can do to be gentle and calm with ourselves and then get out of that stress response. Just in general, when we're talking about writer's block, that is also applicable, right? So the next set of strengths that can sometimes cause our stress responses or can cause writer's block or cause difficulty in crises are the relationship building strengths. And specifically, I want to talk about empathy and relator right now, and harmony as well. Positivity probably also. So when you think about the core of what it is that you need from that strength or how you utilize that strength, one of the pieces that's so important about strengths in particular is that when they're functioning at their best, they are giving you energy in addition to sort of using some energy as well, right? So one of the really, for me, big important parts about stress is that sometimes our stress can feel like I'm using this, I'm using my empathy, I'm using my includer, I'm using my positivity. But in reality, the use of those traits is stressing us out because of what we're getting in return. So we just want to be cautious about how connected we are, where we are connected, whether or not the social connections that we're making are good for us, whether or not it's good for us to be on, certain social media, whether or not it's good for us to check our email, whether or not it's good for us to answer phone calls. Not that you don't want to answer emergency phone calls, right? But so it's important to take into account whether or not the particular relationship building strengths that you have are feeding you right now or are costing you, and where exactly your energy is going to. Because the most important part of being in a crisis is knowing when to care for yourself and when to care for other people. That's enough from me for right now. We do have some live calls coming up with the Patreon, and we are going to be doing another podcast hopefully next week. And I will see you in the next QuickCast. Bye.